Life on the streets is not easy under any circumstances, but it's just that much worse when the weather turns cold. A number of cities offer emergency shelter when the temperature drops. Those include Eugene, where the shelters have a name. They are collectively the Egan Warming Centers, named after a man who did not have access to a warm shelter. Several organizations combine efforts to operate the Egan Warming Centers. They include the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Lane County, where Charlie Harvey is the executive director and our guest once again on The Exchange. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, good morning, Jeffrey.
Good to have you here. Give us a general sense, if you would, of the magnitude of the homeless issue in the greater Eugene area.
We probably have easily a couple thousand homeless folks around here, and there's, you know, lots of different agencies like ours that try to do what we can to help. And so, you know, the emergency shelters in the wintertime has really been a lifesaver for a lot of those folks.
When we talk about several thousand people on the streets, what's the general number of shelter beds in the Eugene area any given regular night, not a cold night?
Well, we do have a pretty healthy mission here, and there's probably, you know, several hundred, you know, beds available there. And then we also operate a day shelter where, you know, homeless folks can come in and do their laundry and take a shower and, you know, use the phone and get mail and stuff like that.
Okay, so a few anyway. Now, there were no warming centers until the case of Thomas Egan. Tell us about him.
That's correct. Major Thomas Egan was a gentleman who was on the street, and unfortunately he was an alcoholic, and one night he was... he was inebriated and got turned away from the mission, and unfortunately it was because of his inebriation and ended up freezing to death on just down the street.
And I read the account that a friend who knew him put up on the website. It's right there with the Egan Warming Center's information, talking about finding Major Tom Egan frozen with a half a bottle of vodka by his side.
Yeah.
And that friend wanted Tom Egan's death to mean more. Really, are there a bunch of people like Tom Egan out on the streets any given night?
Yes, there are. There's probably a good, you know, 25 to 30% of the homeless out there that are veterans, and have their issues, and a lot of people just, you know, for circumstances sometimes beyond their control, found themselves in the streets. So there's really kind of a broad spectrum of, you know, why people are on the streets, and so, you know, we try to help them the best we can.
At any time in recent memory before the Egan event, had there been some sort of cold weather shelters earlier?
On occasion, when there have been some bad storms, it sounded like there had been some, you know, faith communities that had opened their doors and tried to do what they could. And so this was really, you know, kind of the, when Major Thomas Egan died, it was kind of the last straw to a lot of people, and they really wanted to, you know, get together and you know, kind of stop doing stuff separately, but try to come up together with a coalition to try to, you know, do more. And so that's kind of where, you know, a lot of the government officials and faith communities and agencies that help the homeless kind of got together and said, you know, we want to do something. We want to do something more. And then the first year they got the armory and had a few nights there and, you know, got up to about, over 170 people there and realized that, you know, well, maybe this isn't the best idea to have all these folks in one place. And that's kind of when they came to us and said, hey, we're looking for a site. And we had been running for years an operation called Interface Shelter Program, where we provide shelter to homeless families with school-aged children, just so that they wouldn't get farther behind, you know, in their schooling, you know, repeating the generations of poverty. And so we did that using the faith communities and kind of utilized that successful model and basically got together with some faith communities, which, you know, provide a lot of volunteers in the sites. And we provide kind of the oversight and the management and supplies, and it's worked out very well.
Charlie Harvey is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the executive director at St. Vincent de Paul in Eugene. We're talking about the Egan Warming Centers. Join us on the Exchange with questions or comments about homeless communities, the Eugene's homeless community in particular, and the Egan Warming Centers in particular focus. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Charlie, how much time elapsed between the death of Tom Egan and the establishment of the Egan Warming Centers with that name?
Shortly after his death. I mean, I think it was within, you know, a few weeks when they had the next, you know, cold spell coming through that they were able to mobilize and put that together at the armory. And then, after that season was over, so to speak, is when we were approached and we've been, you know, doing it the 5 years since then.
So where are, there are obviously centers indicates there's more than one. So where are they?
We have senators in the Eugene Springfield, you know, metropolitan area. We have a couple faith communities in Springfield that kind of take turns, just so we kind of have an east, you know, site, and then we have a west site in West Eugene at the Valley Covenant Church. The River Road in North Eugene has a couple churches, Trinity and Day Spring, that take turns. The Springfield ones are the Seventh-day Adventist Church and Everett Memorial. And then we have a downtown, which is kind of our main hub site at First Christian Church there, and then an overflow at St. Mary's Episcopal nearby. And then also in the South Hills at the Church of the Resurrection.
So when the warming centers are activated, are they all open or does it rotate around?
They're all pretty much open. In Springfield and River Road, we have churches that will kind of tag team, and so because they are not always available the same nights, and so if one's not available, we'll go to the other one. And also, newly this year, we have a youth site. We worked with Jose Youth Services in the past years, but they were unavailable this year to have overnight guests, and so we have set up a youth church, a youth site as well.
And has that have the Egan Centers been activated yet this year, this season, I should ask?
Yes, actually, we have been activated. We've been activated for 8 nights so far. Our season runs November 15th through the end of March. And actually, the very first night of our season, we actually had cold weather come through, and we were open 3 nights. And then we were open another night over the Thanksgiving weekend when the Civil War game was that night. We actually had an activation. And then here recently around New Year's, we had another 4 nights that we were activated. So.
And so what are the conditions that will activate the Egan Warming Centers?
Basically, we're looking for forecasts that are going to be under 30 degrees. But we also kind of, you know, we'll watch the weather as far as, you know, whether it's going to be dry or whether it's going to be, you know, wet and, you know, snowy and icy. And sometimes we'll hedge on one side or the other, just depending on, you know, what the weather's going to be like. You know, sometimes in the late spring, we'll have, you know, may get clear and maybe cold for, you know, an hour or so. And oftentimes, you know, later in the morning, like 8, 9 o'clock, when we're guests are actually have left, and it might be a, you know, 55-60 degree day, and so this might be nice that we might not activate. Likewise, we may have a, you know, 30-31 degree, 32 degree night, or it might be icy and snowy that we might activate just because of the weather.
Right. So there is some variability. It's not a firm line.
Sure.
Like it's 30 or 30 or nothing. You know?
Yeah. We you know, it's kind of below 30, but we also look at the misery index, as we call it. So.
All right. So who makes the call, though? I mean, is it a committee of people, or is it one person who gets stuck?
It's a committee of people. It's a committee of our our director and a few others, you know, key people, including myself.
All right. And so you did mention there are other contributing factors, like if there's rain or sleet or some other things that might,
yeah,
you know, the misery index,
yeah,
increases. So once the call is made, how quickly do people and places come together to get the warming centers up to speed?
And usually what we do is we, about 72 hours before, you know, we're looking at the weather, and if we see some weather coming, about 72 hours beforehand, we'll kind of put the notice out that, like, that we're on standby, and that just kind of indicates to our schedulers who are trying to schedule the volunteers and the sites, that they kind of go ahead and try to schedule people in and get sites ready, and then we'll, you know, we'll wait as long as we can to make that final call, and we'll usually do that, you know, 48 hours before the first night of activation, but then, you know, if we're doing a activation where we have multiple nights, we may wait till 24 hours before, just because, you know, we live in Oregon. We all know how fast the weather can change around here. So
absolutely. So is it all volunteer staffing then?
Mostly. We do have some, we have a paid director, and then we also have some paid overnight staff that, you know, that works with St. Vincent de Paul, that kind of, you know, has more of a background in, you know, handling the homeless and, you know, de-escalation and handling emergencies and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's just only a small handful of paid staff, but the rest of, you know, the hundreds of people that we utilize are our volunteers.
And how much training do those volunteers get?
We do a training for everybody that comes in. So it's a few hours, and we'll bring in some experts from some local agencies that deal with homeless all the time. And they can kind of talk about, you know, boundaries and de-escalation and, you know, just kind of what to expect. And so, you know, we don't just throw anybody in it. We actually do some training. And also, once we have new volunteers, we'll actually have them kind of shadow some, you know, experienced volunteers on some of their first activations.
Are there any circumstances that would get anybody turned away from an Egan Warming Center?
No, we try to accommodate everybody that we can.
All right, but that given the case, then you could have some people who are inebriated or just not in the best of states of mind,
sure.
Perhaps.
Yep, and we deal with that all the time. And you know, basically, as long as they behave themselves, for the most part, they're allowed to stay. I mean, but there are times that we'll have to call the police on some people just because they're so disruptive. But we don't turn anybody away just because of being inebriated. We're kind of used to it, and a lot of times that we've found. That, if you just, give them some warm food and, and show them their bed and give them a blanket, a lot of times they'll just, lay down and go to sleep. And so.
So what is the schedule then? I mean, when the warming centers are activated, when can people show up? What are the amenities provided and when do they have to be out?
Sure. And it kind of depends a little bit on site to site, just because we try to work around some of the faith community schedules. But, by and by, it's mostly that we're open at 7 and basically, people can come in and we can get them some food and the bed, and then we wake them up in the morning and give them breakfast, and they usually have to be out by 8 o'clock. We also do offer most of the homeless will, because they are downtown where the services are, will be at the First Christian Church, and we actually will shuttle bus people out to the various sites around in the evening, and then we'll shuttle them back in the morning. And then LTD has been very helpful about giving us bus passes so they can get around, and we work with Food for Lane County too to get food resources to feed them.
We're talking about the Egan Warming Centers once again on the Jefferson Exchange with Charlie Harvey, the Executive Director at St. Vincent de Paul, based in Eugene. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions, comments, observations about the operation of the Egan Warming Centers, 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Charlie, have there been any issues with local codes, ordinances, city regulations? Central Point, for example, recently nixed the idea of a warming center in a church in a residential neighborhood, ostensibly because it became a regular overnight shelter and not just for cold nights.
Right. No, we actually, worked together with the city and the fire marshal and everything just to make sure that we're okay. And there's also, sites that have been offered to us that that maybe will have, daycare programs child care programs. And so we actually will not use those sites, because we're trying to be respectful to, the churches and there are other people that they're serving in the communities around them. But, for the most part, we've had a very good relationship with the churches in the surrounding neighborhoods. I can see why that, would be a problem if it turned into a regular shelter, but why we try to, be respectful of that and only do it during emergencies so that we do have those facilities available when we do have an emergency weather.
I know that there are other efforts to reduce homelessness outside of what goes on to just provide immediate care for the homeless. I mean, there's things like Opportunity Village, Eugene, and more. I mean, are they making a difference in the numbers of people showing up at shelters and warming centers and the like?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned those because, there's those are some of the rest camps around that the city has provided that, do help. And when there's emergency, when there's weather that, when we provide emergency shelter that we have seen, those sites, remain full for the most part for the people that are there. And so, anybody that we can find another, place to stay, certainly helps diminish the numbers of the Egan Warming Center. So, we try to support any of those efforts we can.
We have a phone call for you. Here's Connie and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Charlie Harvey. We're talking about the Egan Warming Centers.
Yes, good morning. I've been wondering what happens when you have persons, as you admit, there's a lot of people with some issues, if they come in highly intoxicated or really out of it on drugs or having some sort of mental health crisis, either when they come in or at the site, what happens with persons in that kind of condition on a cold night?
All right. Thanks for that, Connie.
And we try to, when they come in, we try to accommodate them. Like I said, a lot of times they will, we can, talk to them and, give them some warm food and they'll usually go to sleep. But we do have trained professionals on sites, when they come in, if we have to deal with somebody with some mental health issues, we're kind of used to dealing with that. And like I said, sometimes if it gets really bad, we may have to call CAHOOTS, which is a local agency that helps with that, or, worst case, police, and they usually will deal with them. And sometimes they may end up at, the Buckley House, which is a detox center for the night. But, all in all, we try to deal with them best we can. We have people there that can deal with that. And a lot of times even the homeless themselves, you know, because they're their own community, are able to, you know, to help deal with, you know, other people that are having those issues, just because, you know, they're with them, you know, day in and day out on the streets.
I remain impressed by the network of services available in Greater Eugene. I mean, granted, there are a lot of homeless people, but also a lot of a lot of remedies for them. Because when we talk about you got the Egan Warming Centers that are the major topic of this discussion, you just mentioned in a couple of sentences Cahoots and the Buckley Center as well. So there's this vast network of services, it seems, available to assist people who are homeless.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of different agencies around, you know, like ourselves and those ones we mentioned, and you know, Catholic Community Services and some other ones around. Yeah, so we, you know, work together the best we can. And, you know, even there may be times that we may have, you know, families or something show up, but we can't take them at the Egan Warming Center, but we can, you know, we can call up the mission and, you know, and try to get them in over there. Or, you know, we work with Women's Space, you know, for domestic abuse issues, and, you know, and we even our own First Place Family Center for, you know, for people that come in. So, yeah, that's kind of a nice part about the size of the network here at Eugene is, you know, that there's lots of different niches that, you know, are provided for, and we try to work together to help everybody we can.
It must be a fair amount of frustration, though, I'm thinking, for the agencies involved, that there never seems to be a shortage of homeless people.
that's true, but I think that's the same everywhere. But we do what we can to, you know, to provide for them and try to help them, you know, get out of that poverty if we can. And so, you know, a lot of times we'll, with our job programs and stuff like that, we're able to help them.
All right, a lot of partners involved, including St. Vincent de Paul in operating the Egan Warming Centers in Eugene. Charlie Harvey is the executive director at St. Vincent de Paul, and he's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care.